Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope it's been a really great week for you so far. So maybe you've been in a season, kind of a winter season. Have you ever gone through a winter season in the summer? That's really hard, where you feel like the sun is shining and everybody else seems to be basking in that kind of rest season, but you're in the winter of your life. Well, we're in the winter right now, and if you're in the winter life-wise as well, it can sometimes feel just so barren, you know, and you wonder, does anybody see you? Does anybody know what life's like? And everybody else seems to bounce through life. Maybe you're ready for a change. Maybe you're ready for that springtime season. I've heard more people say that. I have honestly felt like it's been a winter season for me for a really long time. I get the sense that tulips are about to burst through, but maybe you're there too. Well, my guest today is Nika Maples, and she joins me to share about her book, Everyday Genesis, Inviting God to Recreate You. It's so much about newness, about new growth, about God doing a new thing in you. We've got three copies of Everyday Genesis. You know the drill. If you listen often enough, just email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Remember the mailing address, and you can put Everyday Genesis in the subject line. We'll get Nika on the show here in just a moment. Couple of quick announcements for you. First of all, something we're very excited about, hard at work behind the scenes planning for you, is our upcoming Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. And this is for everybody and anybody. If you've got a dream to write, but you don't know what next steps to take, or maybe you've got a book under your belt, you've self-published, or you've even got a couple books at the mainstream publisher, but you want to network and go to a next place. Well, we have assembled an amazing A-list faculty for you, literary agents, respected editors from huge publishing houses, and lots of experts in the field who've had massive success, who have hearts for God, who are coming ready to meet with you, to challenge you, to talk with you, to inspire you to take your next steps. The reason we're talking about it now, even though the conference takes place in July, is that we have a limited number of one-on-one appointments, and that's really what you want to do. You want to go and meet face-to-face with an editor or an agent or an expert and ask them your questions, and they'll help you take some next steps. So if you're interested, I hope you are, and I hope you'll join us, hop on the website, and here's the address, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. That's NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Nika Maples is a survivor of lupus and a stroke that left her a quadriplegic at age 20. Listen to this. After learning to walk and talk again, she became a public school teacher, winning the 2007 Texas Secondary Teacher of the Year. She holds a master's in English education. When she's not traveling to speak, she lives, writes, and laughs as much as possible in Fort Worth, Texas. Dear Nika, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Susie. It's a pleasure.
Good to be with you. Well, we love to start every day talking scripture, and I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been hanging around these days that you can share with us.
I always go back to Romans 8:18, for I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. It's such an encouragement to know that those winter days that you were referring to just a moment ago, those times of possibly some barrenness where we don't see growth or beauty in, on our horizon or in our circumstances, that's not the end. That's never the end, because we worship Jesus, who is life itself. And so there is a day coming where his glory will be revealed in our lives. It doesn't stop with suffering. It never does.
Amen. Doesn't stop with suffering. Maybe you need to hear that today. Well, give us a little backstory on your faith journey, and I would even like a little more backstory on that health journey and just how God restored you.
Mm-hmm. When I was 12 years old, I was diagnosed with systemic lupus, which affected me most in the area of kidneys. And throughout my adolescent years, I had arthritis, which made it very difficult to do the normal things that teenagers would do. I had a lot of pain in my everyday life. But when I was a senior in high school, it became very serious, and I started chemotherapy as a treatment for lupus. Mm. I was on chemotherapy for 2 years,
oh, wow.
And we really thought that was going to be the lowest point in my health journey. We really felt like those 2 years when chemotherapy was such a struggle for me to have going in my life at all times, that was going to be it. Little did we know that there was another area that God was going to show his faithfulness to our family through helping us navigate difficulty. And that was when I was a sophomore in college. I suffered a massive brainstem stroke that left me quadriplegic.
I'm stunned. So take it from there, if you would.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't walk, of course, but I also couldn't talk. I couldn't blink my eyes to communicate anything to anyone who was nearby. So really, the only sense that was intact and functioning for me was my sense of hearing. And I could hear doctors warning my parents that I may have as little as 48 hours
wow.
left to live. They had seen brain injuries like mine before, which may have come from a lupus attack. It may have come from a complication of chemotherapy. We don't even know at this point. But when they saw what was happening in my brainstem, they realized that there's not really a hope of recovery from this. Even though I lived through the 48-hour critical window, they said even now she won't come out of a vegetative state.
Wow.
She will never walk again, probably never talk again. And they advised my parents to look into the possibility of assisted living for me, which that was hard for me to hear. It's hard for anyone to hear, but it's especially hard, I think, for a 20-year-old to hear. I had no concept of my life being over to such a degree. I thought I had pictured what all 20-year-olds picture. Many years to come of all my dreams, pursuing things that I was excited about, and then to suddenly hear you'll be in a vegetative state from now on, that was quite a shock.
Mm. You know, so you hear it, you're completely, your body is not cooperating with you, but you have enough of a brain to be able to process what they're saying. And then I look at the books that you write, and you're an amazing writer. What you've come back from, I'm sort of at the edge of my seat, even though I know portions of this story, and I know our listeners are as well. So take us through this story, if you would, and we'll get into the content of your book, but I just feel like someone needs to hear this today. How long before you started to notice that you were actually getting better?
Mm-hmm. I agree with you that there are many people who are walking through some difficulties right now that would be encouraged to know that even though there appears to be no hope, that you don't need to be able to see hope. It says in the Word, in Romans 8:24, if someone has hope, then what do they even need to hope for? But it is when we feel hopeless that hope is authentic and real. And so it was during my hopeless days of being in ICU, unable to communicate, it was hopeless by the world's standpoint, from medical perspective, it was hopeless. But that's when the real hope can step in. That's when it can be authentic and real, because the real hope is Jesus. And nothing is ever past his power to resurrect, nothing. And so I prayed during those days. I had nothing else to do but pray inside my thoughts, inside my heart, because I couldn't communicate any other way. And so for 10 days, I couldn't even drink or anything like that. And the first thing I moved was my right pinky when someone was holding my hand. And from there, little by little, I think doctors could see that I was cognizant of what was going on, that I was aware and could communicate when my body would cooperate with me. So I began to do things like speak very, very slowly, one word at a time. I was able to sit up and eventually able to swallow food. And so those milestones are precious to me now. I remember my first steps. I remember the first words that I was able to write on paper. I remember all of those things, and because Jesus was the one walking me through those difficult moments and celebrating in victory when he saw them to completion as well.
My goodness. How long from that point when you were in the hospital hearing doctor's words to when you were up and walking and functioning again? How much time passed?
About 9 months. I was in the hospital 2 months. But as far as being able to walk around, I was on a walker when I left the hospital. No, I was in a wheelchair when I left the hospital, then on a walker, then using 2 arm braces, and then 2 canes, and then just 1 cane. It was a gradual process to be able to walk again. And about 9 or 10 months before I was able to take a test for people with a disability to see if they were able to drive. And that was a true victory for me when I was able to drive again. And a year later, a year after my stroke, I went back to my college campus, hoping to re-enter my life at exactly the same point that I had left it. And that is another thing that probably some listeners need to be reminded of, is that sometimes when there's an interruption, we fantasize about returning to things the way they were, when really things may never go back to the way they were exactly. But that doesn't mean that your life still can't be good, that it won't be blessed. And so I did go back to my college campus, but things were very different for me. My mobility was different. I walked with a cane. Also, my thinking and processing was a little bit different. It used to be so easy for me to remember numbers and to remember vocabulary and things like that, and to study at the college level after a stroke was very taxing for me. I had a difficulty remembering some numbers and some words and how to do things, and that was just part of my brain's healing. That was going to take a little bit longer, and I expected, it's not that I expected too much, I just expected things to go my way. And once I finally surrendered and said, wait a second, maybe jumping right back in where I was is not what's best for me, I got still for a little bit, and I listened to God, and I prayed, and I said, I surrender. Now my expectation is not on what I hope for. My expectation is on the hope itself, Jesus. And so my life doesn't have to return to what it was. I want it to go to what you want it to be, Lord. God led me to graduate in a different way, from a different college, smaller one, that was more helpful for me personally. And I was able to become a teacher, when what I had originally planned was to become a broadcast journalist. And my degree is in broadcast journalism. But the amazing thing about that, Susie, is that when I first became a high school teacher of English, I looked back on my broadcast journalism degree. And I thought, what a waste. I spent all those years being trained in radio broadcasting. And look, now I'm not using it at all.
We have to pause here. I got to let you finish that thought on the other side. I'm so sorry. We've got a break here. I want to hear how God spoke to you and tied that one up for you. Talking to Nika Maples, what a great story. We'll delve into her book, Everyday Genesis, in just a moment. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Nika Maples. And what a story. Before the break, she was sharing how, as a young girl, she was diagnosed with lupus that affected her kidneys. She went through major chemo. At 20, she had a massive stroke, was in almost a vegetative state. The only thing that worked were her ears, where she could hear what doctors were saying. And doctors were telling her parents that she would never come out of this vegetative state. And here she is writing these unbelievable books. And right before the break, Nika, you were saying that, you know, you went to a different college. Once you made your way back, you were walking with a cane. You had some struggles, but nothing like what the doctors had predicted for you. But you graduated and became a teacher. And here you're a teacher wondering, did I waste my broadcast journalism experience in college? Take it from there.
Oh, thank you. You summarized so well. Yes, I was feeling like so many of us do, that when we don't see things turn out the way we expected, we look back and think maybe it's been wasted, all of those experiences. But Jesus never wastes anything. Mm. He never wastes anything. And I had no way of knowing when I first became a teacher that 10 years later I would be interviewed by people who did have radio broadcasting experience and had a radio show like yours, and who would be interviewing me about books that I had written. So all of my radio broadcasting experience and education is still applicable to my life. I just didn't know that I wasn't going to be the one who had a radio show. I was going to be the one who was being interviewed by a radio show. It's so beautiful the way that the Lord will weave a tapestry of purpose into every experience of our lives if we will surrender and allow Him to do so.
Yeah. I mean, I would think at every turn you could have found reasons for utter despair and disappointment. And I'm sure you did at moments. I sure have. But I know I can't stay there. I can't stay there. It's not good for my soul. And if I want everything God has, I got to climb out of that ditch when I find myself there. How about you?
That's exactly right. Mm. And I think a lot of us expect, really. So I've heard someone say that expectations are premeditated disappointments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I can see in a lot of our lives we go off the rails when it comes to expectations. We really think if it doesn't go the way we thought it would, it's a failure. And that's just not true. In Romans 5, it says that we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And then hope doesn't disappoint us. The thing is that a lot of us, when we think a situation looks hopeless, then we can't see the hope, but it's only because it's further down the map. We want hope to come directly after suffering, but that's not when it comes. The Bible says that first comes perseverance, then comes character. So if we are willing to traverse the terrain of the Christian life of faith, we will pass through perseverance and character and eventually get to hope. But it's not the first thing we see on the horizon, no.
Mm.
We have to walk toward it through prayer and faith.
Wow. Okay, talk Everyday Genesis, how this idea was first born in your heart. And even for those just tuned in, what is this about?
Well, one of my books, Hunting Hope, was about really how to get through a difficult time. So I knew that the follow-up book to that would be how to rebuild after a difficult time. And so I wrote Everyday Genesis about new creation in our lives, how we are Christ's new creations. I looked at Genesis and how the Lord created the earth by a specific sequence, a divine sequence and order that builds upon itself. He didn't start immediately with fruit on the trees. That's what we want. We want productivity immediately in our lives. We want fruitfulness, something to show for our efforts. However, that's just not the way God built our world. It's not the way He built our natural world, and it's not the way He has built the spiritual world either. The fruit has to come from a tree that has deep roots, and the tree has to have the land. The land has to be separated from the water. The water has to be separated, the lower water, from the sky. And before that, there's let there be light. So you can walk back the sequence of creation to the very first words, let there be light, and realize that that's where we have to start too as new creations. We don't start in the fruitfulness stage. That came really in the divine sequence of creation that came on day three. So we need to start with revelation. That's where God says, let there be light into our circumstances. He shows us what needs to change and how it needs to change. The next thing God said in the order of creation was, let there be space. He created a space between the sky and the waters of the earth. For us, that's freedom. God will show us if we're quiet and we listen, if we seek him. He'll show us the places in our lives where we need space, we need freedom.
So good. You said, do you desire to change or completely start over? Well, he wants us just as we are, simple altars of earth, so that his hands are the only ones shaping us. Got a few minutes to our hard break at the bottom, but I'd love for you to expound on that a bit.
I think that it's easy for us to think we have to clean ourselves up to come to God, that we want to bring a sacrifice that's pleasing to him, and we want to bring ourselves in a way that we think he wants us to come, which is put together. That's just not the way it is, though. He created us with his hands. He doesn't need us to go through self-help tools or self-help books or seminars to try to fix ourselves up. He wants us to come to him as we are. He says that a contrite heart is a pleasing sacrifice to him. That's all we need. And so I think one of the most freeing things as we look at how God creates space and freedom in our lives is to come to him just as we are.
You know, I'm just looking at my clock here, about a minute and a half. I love this, too. You said, the Creator is making all things new, including you. Maybe speak to that person. Now, you got to, like I said, a minute and a half, you can pick it up on the other side. But who that's almost a new thought, that things have felt old and same for so long that it's hard to believe that God would do something new in them and through them.
Right. Because to us, we can only do what we can do within our circumstances. Mm. But God doesn't see it that way. He has the full picture, and he can see much more than we can. He has ways of creating new life in us that we can't even anticipate. That's why we have to rely on him.
Mm. Well, anything stand out to you as you studied Genesis? Anything that gave you kind of an aha moment?
What was amazing to me is that in the natural world with creation, it's a renewing cycle. The trees bud and flourish, and then the leaves fall off and the trees are bare again. But then eventually the buds will emerge, they will flourish, and it's a cycle that renews annually. God didn't create things once and for all. He created them to enter a cycle. It's really the same thing with the human heart.
Mm. So good. So there you go. So maybe you've been in the barren winter land and you think, is this the way it's always going to be? Well, it's not. And there's actually growth under the surface, even if you don't feel it. You don't have to feel the growth to know that it's happening. And soon and very soon, you're going to see buds spring forth. Talking to Nika Maples. And Nika, when we come back, I'd love to know just from your own life, when you've come through a winter season and it seemed like it lasted longer than you'd hoped, how you navigated that and then how spring just sprung through for you. I think just someone maybe needs to hear that today. Got 3 copies of Everyday Genesis. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com and we will be back in a minute. Having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Nika Maples. What an amazing story. If you just tuned in, you got to go back and hear the beginning, but I just have to tell you so you have a little context here. Nika was diagnosed with lupus in her, like, 12 years old, I think it was. It attacked her kidneys. She went through lots of chemotherapy, had a massive brainstem stroke at 20, was in a vegetative state. Doctor said she would never come out of it. She came out of it. She won a Teacher of the Year award. She's a brilliant writer, and she's written this book, Everyday Genesis, Inviting God to Recreate You. And you were saying how God, study Genesis, you really saw that God creates things on cycles. It's not like a once and done and that's it. There's a cycle of life. And so just as there's winter, there's springtime, you know, there's fall, there's summer, there's seasons, there's buds, there's barrenness. I would love for you to draw from your own life a particular winter season where you were just so ready for the newness of spring, and it seemed like maybe it was taking longer than it should. How you navigated that, and then how spring first sprung before you.
Well, you know, after I survived such a critical medical experience, I thought, well, that must have been my big winter. And so that paralysis, now that I'm moving again, now that I'm walking again, I'm experiencing spring. I have all these new things in my life, a brand new career, new friends. I've purchased a new home. And I really thought that maybe everyone just has one big winter that they
wouldn't
walk
that
through.
Be nice? Sorry.
Yes. But and I don't think it's just a spiral, like a circle, like you're spinning top. You really are getting somewhere, but it's a spiral like a spring where you're moving upward with each and every turn. Because the next experience that I had was a very disheartening experience with my finances. And I had to get to know a whole new God, in a sense. God is so rich and deep. So I knew God the healer, but I didn't know God the provider like I did after I had financial distress. And so getting to know God the healer was one thing. Relying on God the provider is a whole other thing. Of course, it's all one God. We serve one God. But his dimensions are so rich and deep that we really have so much to learn about all of who he is that it almost seems like you're getting to know a brand new side of him with every experience in the winter. So when I went around once, had my spring, I didn't expect to go around again and have winter again with my finances. The thing is that during that time, I learned a new way of abiding in him. When I was in ICU, I really didn't have a choice about abiding in God. He was the only one that I could talk to because I was praying inwardly. I couldn't even be distracted because I couldn't move my hands and pursue any of the things that are normal distractions. But when I had financial distress, there were a lot of ways I could have distracted myself from spending time alone and seeking peace in his presence. That's where I learned the importance of spiritual disciplines. I learned that prayer and meditating on scripture and sacrifice and fasting and giving, all of those things are practices that bring us closer to the character of Christ in our lives. And I think a lot of people are intimidated by spiritual disciplines. But one thing from my teaching career that really helps me to encourage others in the area of spiritual disciplines, I used to always have students who would say things to me when they would be writing an essay or doing a project. They would bring it to me and say, is this right? Is this right? Is this good? They needed my approval for every step they took. That's not creating a healthy scholarship in a student. So I had to break them of that habit to just trust their own judgment as they produced academic work. And so I taught them, I would say, it's not about right or wrong. It's not about good or bad. It's about practice. And so that's one of the things that I think is a critical paradigm shift for people who are engaging in spiritual disciplines. We often ask ourselves, am I doing this right? Is this right? Am I praying the right way? Am I meditating on scripture the right way? Is this right? Or we think about our fasting and the ways we choose to fast. Is this good? Am I doing what's good? Well, I think Christ is saying, it's not about right or wrong. It's not about good or bad. It's about practice in being like me, because these are the things that Christ did in order to become like his Father. And so he said, I am about my Father's business. He said, I don't do anything or say anything that I have not seen my Father do or heard him say. That's a surprise to us when we realize even Jesus was completely dependent, abiding in his Father. That's the pattern for us. We don't do anything that Christ doesn't do. We don't say anything Christ doesn't say. And the only way we can operate that way is by being close to him and abiding through the spiritual discipline.
I have the feeling that might be a light bulb moment for some, you know, that it's practice, you know, because when we focus on right, wrong, good column, bad column, it's still so much about us. But when you think practice, that really follows the apprentice master model, basically, that you think about how those who moved in with families, the apprentice did to learn from the master. They learned their family rhythm, and it was a practice. I love that. I just think that's a beautiful picture because you fall down, you get back up again, but you learn the rhythm of the master. I think that's fantastic. Right. I love that. Well, you say that we must be willing to speak God's words to ourselves in order to be recreated. Explain what you mean there.
Well, I think one of the practices, of course, one of the spiritual disciplines is spending time reading the Bible, reading who God is and what he says. But what we do, because we're just overachievers, all of us in our own way, are focused on achievement, then what we do is we try to make it make Bible reading something that we check off our daily to-do list, or we try to check it off annually. I used to make New Year's resolutions. This is the year I'm going to read the Bible from cover to cover. And just like what you said, that makes it all about me. It's about me reading it from cover to cover and being able to check it off my list that I had done it. Eventually, I had to say, this method is not working for me. I would begin in Genesis on January 1st, and by April, I had quit. Because I couldn't catch up, I would read the one-year Bible. And if I got off a few days and didn't read, I would try to go back and catch up. I'd read 6 days' worth in one day. Well, we all know that doesn't work. We're not really absorbing anything when we skim like that. And so I had to say, wait a second. Oh, what do I really care about here? Do I care about completion or do I care about communion?
Hmm.
The method I took to really change things for myself, I took that one-year Bible and I said, if I skip a day, I skip a day. I'm not going back and trying to stuff it all in so that I can check a box to say that I've read every day this week. Instead, I'm just going to stay on the date that I'm on. I'll pick up my Bible. If I skip the day before or even the 2 days before, I'm still going to stay on the day I'm on. I'm just going to read the daily portion. And I'm really going to let it feed me. So I'm going to let the daily manna feed me because that's what the Word of God is. It's bread of life. It's there for us to pick up, but we do have to go pick it up for ourselves.
Love that. Is it about communion or completion? Again, can you see? It seems subtle, but it's a huge distinction. We get into our flesh and into our striving, which bears nothing, no good fruit. It just exhausts us. But if you sense the invitation for communion, it's life-giving. You can have 5 minutes of communion with God and an hour of striving in your own strength. And guess which one would make you feel that you've been re-inspired. Well, you said it took you 6 months to become comfortable with looking in the mirror and then reading God's word to yourself. Anika, I've prayed, I've read the word laying on the floor face down. I've prayed face down. I mean, I'm no stranger to just going, getting out of my comfort zone because I want more of God. But I have never looked in the mirror and read God's word to myself. So you had me sitting up straight for that one. Tell me more about that.
That was something that was really transformative for me. Because I realized when a friend suggested it to me, I had asked her how she had come to peace with certain things in her life. And she said, really, Nika, you have to get a mirror. Look yourself in the eye and read the word over yourself. I felt the same way that you did when she first told me about it. I said, I don't know if I could do that. That feels a little uncomfortable even. So I had never tried it. But then when I started doing it, I realized how impactful it can be. Because we look someone in the eye when we're serious about something. When at a marriage ceremony, the husband and wife or the bride and groom look one another in the eye when they make that commitment to one another. If you are being hired for a job, a boss and a new employee look one another in the eye as they make that transaction and that commitment to one another. When people are making a commitment, they look one another in the eye. And I thought, how strange that I never look myself in the eye, that I make all kinds of commitments to myself that I easily break. Maybe I'm not taking them seriously enough. So I started looking myself in the eye when I would read scripture over myself because scripture is what tells me my true identity. It's what empowers and equips me to live life. So, of course, engaging with scripture and looking myself in the eye is a fantastic commitment to make on a daily or weekly or even monthly basis. It has changed my life because at first I couldn't even look myself in the eye. It was hard to look in the mirror. But once I became able to do that slowly but surely, and as the word started having its work to strengthen me, then now I'm stronger all the time, not just when I'm in front of a mirror. So what I've done in Everyday Genesis was I wrote down 9 of the declarations that I have made to myself looking myself in the eye. And I recommend that for every single reader, is to put them their own name in that blank and to create a place where God can work in full measure to recreate them.
Okay, so I have an example. This one's from Ephesians. And so there's an I and then a blank. So I, Edith, I, John, I, Mark, those of you listening today, put your name in the blank here. I, Susie, keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I may know him better. I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which he's called me, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, all authority, all power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything, everywhere with his presence. All right, my heart's beating faster. That is just so powerful. How often do you do that?
Well, whenever I feel confused, right now, I do it when I feel confused. I need clarity, when I need peace, when I'm seeking God's direction, that's when I can turn to it now. It's almost like a checkup or a recalibration. But during my time of crisis in a winter season, I did it every day. I had to keep coming back to who God says I am. And it's because there's never silence in the spiritual world. The spiritual world is always broadcasting. You can listen to the Holy Spirit and tune the dial to listen to the Holy Spirit, or you can listen to evil spirits. But something is always going to be talking in your ear. I think that for a while, I really had my dial tuned to hear what Satan had to say about me, because he says things like, oh, you're worthless. Oh, how stupid. You shouldn't have done that. Or you should have known better. Or this is never going to work. Or there's just no hope for you. There's no future in this. All of those things are coming from one place. If it doesn't sound like life, then it isn't the Holy Spirit. And so I had to learn, Lord, I got to hear you again. I got to figure out how to keep myself in alignment, to keep myself in tune to your voice so that I'm listening to the right voice speak into my life. The way that I did that was through reading those scriptures over myself, looking in the mirror. You read the Bible over yourself enough times, and you start to recognize the voice of the one who wrote it. And so now I know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to me more than ever. And when I need those times of refreshing, then yes, I go back to recalibrate with reading those verses over myself.
Man, if it doesn't sound like life, then it's not the Holy Spirit. Who needed to hear that today? God bless you for listening. Aren't you encouraged? I sure am. Talking to Nika Maples about her book, Everyday Genesis. Would love to get a copy into your hands. You can enter the drawing this way. Just email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Remember the mailing address, and we will be back in a minute.
Something good.
Love that song. It makes you want to get up and dance and celebrate, because guess what? You get to be a work in progress. without the condemnation. Is that not good news? We're all works in progress, and we get to be. We can enjoy the journey. One thing Nika said last segment here was that we so much make it about right and wrong, up and down, and she said it's more about practice. You know, we practice the abiding life, and God is not up there with a scorecard just gasping every time we get it wrong. But if we think we fall down, we get up again because we're unfinished. Think about a father who's so proud of his child, who gets back up again and tries again. He loves you. He sings over you, and he's always recreating and doing new things in you. Nika's book is Everyday Genesis, and you were talking about speaking the word over your life, and we read a passage from Ephesians where you just speak life to yourself. And you also said that inviting God's word into our lives, by doing that, we unlock a prison door, but it still doesn't mean we're free quite yet. Say more, if you would.
Well, God offers so much to us, but we have to take hold of it. Mm-hmm. When I was a teacher, I was often given gift cards by students and their parents around Christmas time, and a lot of times I would put those in my wallet and then maybe even forget that a few of them still had the rewards on them that I hadn't redeemed yet in those gift cards. And I thought to myself, it doesn't even matter that I'm carrying around 5 gift cards if I haven't cashed them in. They're worth nothing by themselves. It's the action of bringing them to the store, choosing something and making that transaction that gives me the ability to receive the value. If I lose this gift card or if I never cash it in until it expires, then what those students gave me was really worthless because that card was never redeemed. I think about that in terms of our lives and how Christ gave us everything. God has given us everything. The word says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. But how worthless it will be if we never make those transactions to receive what he has given us. That's kind of what I meant.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. In the book, is that there is some action that is still required on our part.
Indeed, indeed. Well, there's an excerpt here that I have to read. I just think somebody maybe needed to hear this today. The plans we've made for our lives may seem safe, but some of them are prisons. So just think about that. Have your plans kept you in prison almost and in your comfort zone? The plans we've made for our lives may seem safe, but some of them are prisons. We need God's plan instead of our own. Self-sufficiency and self-protection will keep us locked away from the God who loves us and longs to fulfill our needs himself. Any comfort made on our own is a cell. The very thing we're holding on to could be the thing that's holding us back. God wants us to move as Jesus did in the freedom of total trust in his Father. Listen to this. We have been strong so long. We've been holding on. But we may have been holding on to iron bars. Open your callous hands with me. It's time to flee from the cell of self. Just come. We leave tonight. God has unlocked the door, and he promises this. We will find bread. We will find water. We will find covering. His name is Jesus. Let's come from darkness to light. Oh, my goodness, Nika. I just think that's amazing. I think people are noticing the door might be swinging, change might be coming, but how will we eat? How will we be protected? I know this. I don't know that. Maybe speak to that person listening right now.
It's so much easier to stay with what you know, even if what you know is bondage to you. Mm-hmm. But the unknown, really, might be where God's next step of freedom lies for you. That may be where his goodness is. Think about the Israelites who left Egypt. They left the bondage and slavery of Egypt onto new life. But then wait, once it got a little bit difficult, they were promised a land of milk and honey. But once it got a little bit difficult on the journey, what did they do? They wanted to go back. They actually complained to Moses and said, we had it so much better in Egypt. There we had food every night. We had this, we had that. And Moses wanted to say, you also had bondage. You were slaves. You were being beaten. Why is that better than being out here? The reason it felt better is because that was what they had always known. They had a slavery mindset. Many of those people had been born into, actually all of them had been born into slavery. They had no idea what it was like to walk in freedom, that sometimes there's some difficulty and challenge to it, but you're on your way to promises. We who have possibly have a slavery mindset because we've been in slavery to certain things for way too long, it will be easy for us to look back on the known situation and feel like it's safer than the unknown situation, when the opposite is true. You're never safer than when you're in God's will for your life. You're never safer than that moment, even if the circumstances are challenging for you.
I think lots of people's heads are exploding right now. Thinking, going, bam, boom, bam. Okay, she's talking to me. I just see, this is the thing. If you've been in the winter for a long time and life is about to spring up, as she said, it's going to require action on your part. Are you willing to step into the unknown? And somebody once said, a known captivity, we prefer a known captivity to an unknown freedom, because it's what we know. But I'm just thinking, God's calling all kinds of you to step out. We just got a minute and a half before it's time to pray, but I got to read this one more excerpt and have you pray. Nico writes this: if you deeply desire to begin again, it may be because you recently have emerged from a season of chaos, cold, or darkness. You have survived, and you are ready, oh, so ready, for beauty, warmth, and the brightness of spring. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. In your haste to walk out of winter, however, don't forget to double-check your cargo. What are you carrying? God designed our hearts to be fertile ground, so whatever seed you bring with you will grow. Hear that again. God designed our hearts to be fertile ground, so whatever seed you bring with you, they will grow. There are two things you do not want to take with you when you leave the pig pens of the past. That's blame, and that's regret. I feel like there's so much more we could talk about, Nika. I pray you'll come back so we can pick up our conversation where we left off. But as we get ready here, I'm wondering if you would pray for that person whose heart is leaping at the thought of springtime, but realizing they very much are carrying with them blame and regret. Would you pray for that person?
Absolutely. Father, in some ways, that's all of us who we blame ourselves, we regret, and regretting is just re-grieving. So we have to turn it over to you, because you say in your word, it is finished. So for those people, and me included, who regret things in the past, help us to truly internalize your words. Stop ruminating over the past. It is finished. Thank you for your freedom, God. Thank you for the new days that come every morning. Your mercies are new. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your blessing. Amen.
Wow, I just celebrate your amazing story, Nika. You're an amazing, remarkable woman and such a gifted writer. Thank you for giving us your time today.
Thank you, Susie. It was truly a gift to be with you.
Until we talk again, Nika Maples, title of her book, Everyday Genesis, Inviting God to Recreate You.
He started something good.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of this program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be sure to share this conversation with a friend who would be strengthened by it today. You can do that by clicking the share button under the audio link. Take some time to browse our website as well for new articles and content about growing in your faith in Jesus Christ. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this Live the Promise podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of Live the Promise.